Well, sometimes in life, the stakes are really high, aren't they?
Maybe you're waiting, not now, but
sometime you might be waiting for exam results or for the results of a job interview. And the stakes feel high. Maybe bad news comes, then the stakes sometimes feel even higher. That loved one, those job cuts, that dreaded phone call. The stakes feel high. But I guess when you roll along on a Sunday evening, the stakes sometimes don't feel very high. Maybe it feels quite different, quite kind of comfy, slightly predictable, a little bit cozy. You probably wouldn't call this meeting dangerous. And yet the text we're studying tonight sets the stakes shockingly high. The tension in our reading is electric. It says that how we respond to this teaching, it is more important than our response to a fire alarm or to a marriage proposal or anything. We're going to see tonight this is a matter of life and death. Now, why is that? Why are the stakes so high? As we began our new series in the Bible book of Proverbs last week, we asked the question, why study Proverbs? We found three answers in the opening paragraph alone. The author, he's the son of David. Ultimately, the divine son, the purpose for wise thinking, wise living, whoever we are. And the beginning, the place to start our search for knowledge, is not human wisdom, but it is the fear of the Lord. So it's worth studying the book of Proverbs. But why can't it be just an interesting thing that we do on a Sunday night? Why does it matter how I respond? Why are the stakes so high for my response? The answer comes in three parts. And as generally with this series, I'm not going to be preaching the whole passage that we studied. I'm going to be teaching the first part. Well, here are three points. First point, the stakes are very high because wisdom calls out. Chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Wisdom calls out. Look down with me, please, at verse 20. Page 446, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Wisdom calls out. Can you see her in the crowded street? Think of maybe Bath during the Christmas market or Oxford Street in London. The street is heaving with human souls. You have to shout to be heard above the din of men and women and children. And yet above the clamour we hear another voice. The clear, strong voice of a woman cuts like a bell across the noise and grabs us. Can you see her? We're not told, perhaps on a step. But we're told she's by the city gate looking out across the crowd. We see her eyes, but the crowd hurries by oblivious. The woman's name, in Greek it would be Sophie, because literally her name is Wisdom. Of course, this isn't, it's not talking about an actual physical woman. This is picture, poetic language, but it's no less real for that. Most commentators don't go so far as to say that she represents God himself, no, but she does represent true wisdom, God's wisdom, the wisdom of God. She is the embodiment of his wisdom. And time and again, she appears in the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom, calling out to us. Wisdom calls out, but what does she say? Look down, would you, verse 22. Lady Wisdom calls out and she says, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Some people are simple. They don't always mean wrong, but they're ignorant, untaught, vulnerable. But to be happy in that state, to be relaxed about our simplicity, that's not right. Others think they know better. Mockers, they're sarcastic about God. Perhaps we hear them at school or on the high street or some other place. They love to joke about God. Mockers. They think they know better. Still others choose not to know. Fools. They hate knowledge. I mean, they might be very clever, but when it comes to knowledge of God, they hate it. Fools. But Lady Wisdom stands above the heaving crowd and she calls out. She's holding presents as she calls. She's holding presents, gifts, and she's offering them freely. And last week we saw there are so many different gifts she offers at the start of chapter 1. Knowledge, discretion, prudence, discipline. Wisdom offers everything that is good for your mind, good for your soul. But most of all, she offers her heart. Verse 23, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. She's full of grace, isn't she? See, who's she offering her gifts to? Who's she offering her very heart to? She's offering them to sinners. You simple ones, she says. Mockers, fools. Lady Wisdom offers everything she has to the most undeserving. No surprise then. No surprise when Jesus said on the road to Emmaus so many years later that all the scriptures pointed to him. This woman, she's not exactly Jesus. And yet if she embodies God's wisdom in picture language, Jesus embodies it for real. We read earlier in Colossians chapter 2 how all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. Last week we read in 1 Corinthians how we preach Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. And if you turn, please, to near the end of your Bibles, to the letter of James. James is a call to wholehearted faith in the Lord Jesus. And as we trust wholeheartedly in Jesus, God calls out and see what God promises. James chapter 1, page 856, towards the end of your Bibles. Let me read James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I don't know what challenges or decisions you might be facing this week or tonight. Very real, perhaps difficult, perhaps trials, as it says here. But as we lift our eyes to heaven, we find a hand breaks in from above, verse 17 of James chapter 1. From the Father of the heavenly lights, a hand full of good and perfect gifts. The hand of Christ. And he offers us wisdom. Well, shall we make that our prayer for wisdom? I wonder how often we pray for wisdom. It's a promise. It's a gift held out for a time. Let's be wise. Because the stakes are very high. But how high. How high are the stakes? If first wisdom calls out, let's see secondly what the response involves and what it leads to. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, please. And the second point is this. Reject wisdom, find disaster. Chapter 1, verses 24 to 33. Reject wisdom, find disaster. Let's see together verse 24. For Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 24. But since, Lady Wisdom says, since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. There's Lady Wisdom standing, looking out across the city, looking at the crowds. Some rushing perhaps to the supermarket. Some stopping to share a joke perhaps with a friend. Some slinking perhaps down a dark alley. But tragically, one thing is true of them all, verse 25. They ignore all her advice and would not accept her rebuke. It's not a surprise, is it, when the world rejects God's wisdom? It's easy to feel downhearted and shocked even when that happens. But it's not surprising. That is what God says the heart of mankind is like. The world rejects God's wisdom, and that has consequences. Reject wisdom, find disaster. I will laugh at your disaster, Lady Wisdom warns, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, like a whirlwind, and overwhelms you. Now, but don't know about you, when I read that bit, I find that hard to accept. Even godless people seem to have a measure of wisdom, sometimes even more than Christians, as far as we can tell. So in what sense do unbelievers reject wisdom? And why should it lead to disaster? And most of all, why should Lady Wisdom laugh when disaster comes? Well, let's see verse 28. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept, let's carry on. Verse 30, since they did not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Verse 29, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Reject wisdom, find disaster, because they did not choose to fear the Lord. Remember last week, we saw the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Yes, God's blessed everyone with a measure of common sense. But godly wisdom is wisdom for relating with God as well as with each other. It's wisdom for time as well as eternity. And that is the wisdom that people spurn. Last week we looked elsewhere in the Bible to see what this fear of God means. And we found that it means to relate to God rightly. In other words, to remember that God is big and we are small. To remember that God is just and we are undeserving. That God is the giver and we're the receivers. That he's given his son to live and die in our place. The fear of the Lord is to relate rightly to God, ultimately to trust and follow Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. So are we shocked by these words? Lady Wisdom laughing at the fool's predicament. Or maybe that's because we've not got a very good grasp on the fear of the Lord. Maybe our idea of people is too big and our idea of God is too small. We've got to get our heads around this sobering reality that to reject wisdom, to reject God and his wisdom, is to find disaster. For thousands of years in Western literature, the story's been told of a ship of fools. And I don't know much about this kind of cultural stuff, but apparently the artist Hieronymus Bosch, he famously painted this ship of fools. And 12 people crowd the little ship or swim around it. And they're very busy, these people in the ship, singing, dancing, feasting, flirting. But they're so distracted, so drunk, they've no idea where the relentless waves are carrying them. A ship of fools, destined for shipwreck. And the trouble, ultimately, is they're a ship without a pilot, without a captain. Except, if you look carefully in the painting, there is a pilot. There is a 13th head looking out from the top of the mast, but it's only a skull, and it leads to death. Reject wisdom, find disaster. Now, the book of Proverbs, it's initially about life down here in the land, as we saw at the end of our reading, on earth. teaches that to reject wisdom in this life normally leads to disaster in this life. That's the normal feedback mechanism God's built into this world. So, for example, if someone gets addicted to alcohol, they may well lose their health. If someone is dishonest, they will lose their job. If someone is lazy, they'll fail their exams, and so on. Reject wisdom, find disaster. But of course, it's not always as simple as that, is it? Life isn't what it was meant to be. And we'll think more about this in detail in another week. We'll find in the Bible books of Job and Ecclesiastes that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And even honest farmers face thorns and thistles, whilst fools sometimes get fortunate. And yet when Jesus Christ stepped into history, he spoke of a day when all would be put right. A day when he will return to judge wrongdoing fairly. A day when he could laugh, should laugh in triumph. And yet all those years ago, as Jesus looked over Solomon's great city, as Jesus gazed on a city heaving with fools just like us because they were rejecting him, how did Jesus respond? Shall we check? Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. Keep your finger in Proverbs. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We saw this 2 or 3 months ago. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Luke 19 verse 41, page 742. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jesus wept. He wept. If only you'd known what would bring you peace. Because, of course, it was Jesus coming who would have brought them peace, if only they'd known. Reject wisdom, find disaster. Can we begin to see how high the stakes really are? It's easy, I think, to be careless as we read the Bible. Sometimes we're shamefully uninterested. Other times we're interested, but mainly for knowledge, to get a bit more brain knowledge. But how often do we actually long for the Bible to change us? When we read the Bible, how often do we pray and really ask God that it will change the way that we think or the way that we live? How easy it is to be like those fools, bustling down the street, maybe glancing for a moment at that curious a woman shouting there, but quickly getting on with the business of Sunday night and Monday morning. How easy in practice to reject God's wisdom. Let's take care for ourselves. Let's weep for the lost. Weep like Jesus did for the countless souls out there, literally driving down that street, oblivious to the Bible, oblivious to God's wisdom, not listening to the warning, not opening the gift. And if we care enough, we'll start praying. And if we pray enough, we'll start seeing opportunities where perhaps we didn't see them before. Chances to speak of the Lord Jesus. Why are the stakes so high? Because reject wisdom and we'll find destruction. The bad news is bad. But the good news is incredibly good. Why are the stakes so high? Because thirdly and finally, pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom, find the Lord. Chapter 2, verses 1-6. With your Bibles open, let's see how chapter 2 begins. Page 447. It says, "My son." The speaker's changed. It's not Lady Wisdom speaking anymore. It's Solomon, the narrator, if you like. And as often in Proverbs, he's teaching his son. course, we saw last week this is a book for all ages, men and women, boys and girls. And what are the writer doing? He's urging, begging, pleading with us to pursue wisdom. Because pursue wisdom and you'll find the Lord. Let's see together. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Pursue wisdom, find the Lord. Often children aren't very good at listening to their parents, are they? I know I wasn't always very good. But this father points to woman wisdom and he says to his son, chase her, hunt her down, pursue wisdom. Bend your ears around, pin them back, whatever it takes. Verse 2, make sure you can hear Lady Wisdom. Bend your ears, but don't be satisfied with mere facts. Go deeper. Bend your heart, verse 2. Apply it to understanding. Gobble wisdom up. Heart, mind, soul. Shout out for it at the top of your voice, verse 3. Who cares what people think? Pray for wisdom. Pray. Pray. Pursue wisdom like you'd mine for silver, verse 4. Or hunt for hidden treasure. Pursue it. I wonder what your favourite treasure hunt story is. Don't treasure hunters go to incredible lengths to find treasure? Because the stakes are so high. In The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins longs for nothing more than his comfy home, doesn't he? And yet the attraction of treasure takes him through thick and thin to the dragon's lair. In the classic story Treasure Island, the hunt for treasure is so bloody, it leaves the hero with nightmares for life. And when Indiana Jones goes treasure hunting, he risks his life all the time, doesn't he? Of course, they're just fiction and slightly dodgy heroes. You'd have thought real life would be more boring. And yet the stakes here tonight are even higher when it comes to hunting for wisdom. And why is that? Because the target is not just Bilbo's dragon gold, not just Long John Silver's buried chest, not even Indiana Jones's Holy Grail, whatever that is. No, pursue wisdom. And what is our quest for? Verse 5, can you see it? Verse 5, chapter 2. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Our target is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. In other words, pursue wisdom and you'll find the Lord. Last week, we discovered that true wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Tonight, we find that true wisdom leads to the fear of the Lord. So when we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we confess our wrongdoing and open our Bibles with willing hearts before him, he blesses us with wisdom. And that wisdom gives us a deeper and deeper understanding of just how small we are, but how big he is and how much he loves us. And it gets better and better. We trust and follow the Lord, so he gives us wisdom. So we trust and follow the Lord even more. Now turn, if you would, for the last time tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. And again we find Jesus, and this time he's walking through the towns of Galilee. Matthew chapter 11. There Jesus is, calling in the street, raising his voice in the public squares, at the head of the noisy streets, and in the gateways of the city. And what is it that Jesus calls out? Page 689 of the Church Bibles, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Jesus calls out, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Pursue wisdom ultimately through the message of Jesus. Make Jesus your commander, the kindest of commanders. And this will be your true rest, to know God as your loving Father. As Jesus says there, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. For when rebellious children return home, Jesus taught elsewhere, when we turn back to God in sorrow and hope, it's at that moment we find God's already run down the street to embrace our disgrace. And as we seek him with all our heart, we find he's already endured the cross, scorning its shame. He takes our hand. Rising from the dead, he lifts us to the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Pursue wisdom, find the Lord. Outside tonight, there's a chill in the air. Memories of summer are fading. But as the next break still seems far away for most of us, it's a hard season. And could it be there's a chill in our hearts? Or are we just tired in the pursuit of wisdom? So busy in this time of year. So busy we've maybe let our daily Bible reading slip or die completely. And if we're honest, are we drifting into sin and ungodliness? Are we like swimmers, almost sucked in by the wake of that ship of fools? Well, let's stop. Let's take stock. Don't be complacent. The stakes are high. And nothing is more important than to relate rightly with God. No treasure in all the world is so precious as the forgiveness and love Jesus offers so freely. Let's go back to basics. Turn from wrongdoing again. Turn to find the Lord every day in the Bible. Maybe you're in a slightly different place tonight. You're desperate to know God, or rather you're desperate to know that you know God. You know you're full of guilt and shame. And can you really be good enough for God? Well, think of Lady Wisdom again, standing in that street. And what's she holding? She's holding out presents, gifts. And who's she holding them out for? Sinners who turn to God. The final verse in our selection in Proverbs, read this, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It says, the Lord gives, he gives wisdom. The promise is written in the blood of Christ. Pursue the wisdom of God and you will find the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary, Jesus said, and I will give you rest for your soul. Sometimes on a Sunday evening, the stakes don't feel very high. Not quite as high as when exam results or job news comes or bad news. But as Christ speaks to us out of our open Bibles, the stakes could not be higher. Wisdom calls out. Reject wisdom or find disaster. But pursue wisdom or find the Lord. So we seize hold once again tonight of the wisdom of God, explained in his word, immortalized in the Son, who died and rose for us. And shall we rejoice in the security that we find as we follow him for life and eternity?